Welcome to the Washington Heights Church weekly podcast. We do this to help people feel at home at WHC, where we help people meet and follow Jesus. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for joining us today on the Washington Heights weekly podcast. And part of what we want to do through this time is to introduce people in our community, and especially ones that we've had the opportunity and the pleasure to work with. And today is one of those days. And Mayor Russ Porter of South Ogden is with us. And Mayor Porter, thank you for doing this and joining us today.
You're welcome. It's great to be here.
So tell us a little bit about you, where you're from, your family.
I'm pretty much Mr. South Ogden. So I came home from the hospital, the old McCady Hospital, to a house on 40th Street, right by City Hall. I could see my house I grew up in from my office window, and grew up there and went to the local schools, South Junior High, Bonneville High. And now I live a whopping three blocks from where I grew up, and I'm now the mayor. And I teach at Bonneville High School. I teach some health science classes, some current events, government, teaching as a profession, driver's ed, things like that. So, yeah, I'm local.
That's awesome. It's a great place to be from, right?
It's awesome. South Ogden's great.
So it was about a year ago, our most recent SERV projects, we do those every other year, we went across the street, basically, from where the church is into South Ogden. And, you know, for anybody who may not know this, we are in a sort of a unique spot, at least technically, as a church. We're in an unincorporated piece of ground in Weber County, but we border right up against South Ogden. So really, South Ogden is our neighborhood. And so we went across the street, and a whole bunch of people descended on your community. Maybe you can just walk us through that. How did you hear about that? What did that sound like to you?
Yeah, thanks, Roy. That's been one of the neatest things I've been involved with in my 2.5 years as mayor. So Jimmy contacted me, Pastor Jimmy, and said, I got a deal for you. And it sounded too good to be true that that you guys were going to actually improve a bunch of houses in our city. And so we started working that fall. And he told me about the plan, and we drove through some different neighborhoods, and that's the one that he thought was best. And I supported that wholly. And we went door to door, he and I, and he would tell people he brought the mayor with me so they would believe it, because it does sound too good to be true that a group of people are going to come and
so Jimmy needed some credibility is what you're saying.
So he just, he looks a little like Sammy Hagar, so some people don't appreciate that. And we met some nicest people, and we told them that it was for real. And it was hard for them to believe, too, that there was going to be a group of people descend and fix their houses and fix their yards and make it look nice. And so we worked that through the late fall and early spring, and then it was a year ago, June, so what, 14 mm-hmm. months ago that yeah. we, I think, did 19, 20, 21 houses, something like that. And mm-hmm. I got to know you there more and work with you at a house.
Yeah,
and
you served on our team.
It was great.
And you brought your wife?
Yeah, she painted a lot. Days. And awesome. I didn't serve too much. I walked around and just told everybody good job. I got a little sweaty, a little dirty, but... And then I had to rig it so that you guys could prank Jimmy. So I had to get him away for a while. So I had a pretty important job.
That is the most important task in the
world.
But
what a neat thing. And just to see the neighborhood come together and people get some love and some their houses improved and the whole neighborhood over there improved. And it was great.
And as you mentioned, that was 14 months ago. What would you say has been the impact of that, in the aftermath of that?
It's just kind of cool as I'll drive through. Sometimes I make my driver's ed kids drive me through there and just look and see what's been done and the improvements. And there's often some peer pressure that somebody at the neighbor's house looks nice, so they improve theirs a little bit. There's still more work to do there. Some still aren't up to par or up to where people would like it. But great improvement and a really good outpouring of just generosity and just good Christian love to people.
And, Jimmy and I have talked about this during and after our South Ogden SERV event. And every time we've done that, we've gone to Ogden, we've gone to Morgan, and each of those experiences has been unique in its own way. But there was just a profound positive difference in being in South Ogden. I think it was because we were in such close proximity to everybody, and it was like the whole neighborhood was out and about and seeing everything that was happening there. And I don't know, our teams were close to each other. But that was a really, really powerful experience for us as well. And just maybe to give you some fair warning, we've talked about in our next one, coming back maybe to that same neighborhood, that there is more to do in there. Is that
sound all right? Great. That would be so awesome. That'd make me happy again. So. No, I think that was good. I think the closest of the church to have lunch and things, and I just thought everybody to see all the youth out there, mm-hmm. and people that come in from out of the area and other people that just wanted to join us. And I think it'd be even better the next year now they kind of know what it's about. But yeah, that'd be great. It was a neat experience. You guys do a fantastic job with your events.
We look forward to it. So what are you seeing? So you have kind of a bird's eye view of the South Ogden community, and I'm assuming you're in touch with other communities around here too. What are the needs of people right now? What's happening in people's lives now? Of course, we're in the middle of a pandemic, and that brings its own unique issues, and maybe you can speak to some of those, but perhaps even in the bigger picture beyond that.
Yeah, so I think, we worry about the city, of course, financially. We have enough revenue to keep our services going. Fortunately, our sales tax is diverse enough that our grocery stores and our car lots seem to pick up the slack for some restaurants and other things that suffered. So that part, as far as our city budget, has been pretty good. I worry more about the resident that's really haven't heard of a lot that lost their jobs. I know some had a big dip and then they're back, but there's still some that are underemployed. And I also feel for our older generation or those that have illness that really have been isolated and stay mm-hmm. isolated, to make sure that we're reaching out to them and finding out who they are. And a lot of that doesn't come from my level. It's really just neighbors being neighborly. But what a great time. I mean, I was thinking the other day that if I was to just call my neighbor or show up on their doorstep a year ago, they'd look at me really strange. But I can go now and say, hey, is everything okay? Do you need anything? Are you okay? So this really is a great opportunity for us. There's a built-in excuse to be neighborly and to go be Christian and go check on people.
And even the word community comes from, right, this connection that people used to have. And it seems like we've drifted away from that. Maybe this is an ideal time to recapture some of that imagery.
Well, there's lessons to be learned from this difficulty, from all challenges. And I think that's one of them. And my little podcast, I always encourage people to stay kind and stay healthy, but to check on their neighbors and to be good neighbors. And I've heard some good stories of people that have done that and reached out and helped. So.
And just a little promo, you say you do a podcast. Where can people catch that?
If you follow South Ogden City on Facebook, I do a Monday update every Monday, have since probably April. And my people tell me that's going to continue, whether I like it or not. I don't know what time we'll get it done when I get
the
back to school
in, huh?
in a couple weeks. But so I do that, and then there's some business highlights on there too. We do some giveaways to support some of our local South Ogden businesses.
Great. And you mentioned that you teach it at Bonneville High School as well. So you're in touch, and you mentioned the older part of our community, and there's definitely opportunities there. What are you seeing and hearing on the younger side with kids that are in school? What's happening in their world?
Yeah, a couple of things. So that's a concern too. And I taught the kids throughout the summers I've done driver's ed. And the first thing is a lot of them want to get back to school, and they'll wear masks and they'll walk down one-way halls. They'll do whatever they can to be back with their friends and back at school and not be at home. But this is a tough time for this generation, and even everything that's gone on during with some of the riots and the social justice and things, there's a lot of angst and confusion among the teens, and they need good guidance from adults, and they need some optimism from adults, and they need they think that there's not much light at the end of their tunnel sometimes. And so I think that I worry about that generation as well.
Yeah. So if there's somebody who's listening and, they go to work or they're a stay-home mom and they care about that issue that you just talked about, is there a way for them to get involved? I mean, I think we all know it's harder than ever to grow up as a kid in this day. And if somebody said, hey, what can I do about that?
I think you just talk. I think it's been neat. I've seen people walk by my home who I've never seen before, because people are out, especially during the deepest part of the quarantine. They were out. That's all we could do was go for a walk. And so I just think talk to people. Ask them, hi, how you doing? And where do you live? And talk to the teenagers too. They're good kids. You know that. You have great youth here at the church. But there's a few that spoil it, like every generation. But there's a lot of crazy 50-year-olds too. So.
Yeah, some of us were that kid back in the day, right?
Yeah, and we're probably where we are today, and I know we are today because of good parents or good coaches or good teachers or good people at the church or the neighbors even. And so just ask the kid what you can do and start up a conversation. and just share your thoughts. And that's been hard for me because I'm all Mr. Free Advice, and I tell these students everything. When this started happening, I had no prior knowledge to say, oh, well, last time, here's what we did. Because I'm like, this never happened. This is really a strange time.
And yeah, so we've never been here.
So I think just give the teens some optimism and put them to work a little bit. Give them something to do to contribute.
And just let them know you care, right?
Yeah.
And so in a community as well, so if somebody's a South Ogden resident, and I know this would apply to any community around here, and they think, hey, you know, I care about my community, and maybe I haven't been as involved as I want to be, but I want to be more involved going forward. How would an average citizen be a part of that?
I think it always starts small. So start in your own household. Start with your own kids, your own nieces and nephews, your own relatives, and then work out a little bit. So the other kids on your street, or the kids that you see at church, and then just go a little bigger and bigger. As far as the city goes, we're trying to put together a youth city council, and we could use some parent advisors for things like that. We used to have a youth court, so there's some options like that. I think just get involved. It's hard to have social distance now, but I think just start small. Just talk to the ones you see, get to know them a little bit, ask them to come help you with something and impart some of your knowledge and some of your wisdom, and let them know that it's not going to be like this forever.
And I'm assuming South Ogden has city meetings like many cities do. Are there opportunities for people to speak at those, or is that more of an awareness for them to know what's happening in their community?
Both. So City Council is the first and third Tuesdays of every month. Starts at 6 o'clock there at City Hall, and there is a public comment time where people can come and say what's on their mind. And it's usually complaints, but I have on this thing that you can give compliments, you can give suggestions, there's pretty much anything that's on your mind. But they don't need to wait for those meetings. I mean, our emails are published, our phone numbers are pretty published. Between the city council and the mayor, we live throughout the city, and I hope we're approachable, I would think. People.
It's not hard to find you, right?
No, it's in the Star Examiner every day. It's my email address and the office phone number, and those messages go to my cell phone, and I try to call people back very soon and just help. And that's really been the best part of my job is someone has a concern and it's bothered them for a long time and nothing's happened, and they call and I get it to the right department head or get it to the right chief, and they're really responsive, and we get it taken care of. And I said, yep, should have come sooner probably.
And walk us through a little bit of your own journey. So you're in the town that you grew up in, but obviously you've taken on, you know, a leadership role in that community. What led you to go in that direction?
You know, it's funny. I lived up there on 40th, and I would look across the City Hall and the police station all the years. And then I would announce the parade as it came by the house. It used to be on the night before. It used to be on the night of July 3rd, South Ogden's was. And I would announce the floats, and I would always start out just as a joke. Hey, this is your MC and future mayor, Russ Porter. This was long before I did anything. And it's interesting. I was coaching baseball at the high school, and for years I was head coach there for 12 years. And things changed. Some rough seasons. The principal let me know that I wouldn't be the coach anymore. And it's one of those stories where one door closes, one door opens. And I could have gone a few different ways there. And the opportunity presented itself to run for city council. And the timing was perfect. There was two openings. They were running for mayor, so there was no incumbents. And I felt really good about doing that, so I ran for that, and I won. I tell people I gave up baseball for something less political, like coaching high school sports. And those that understand high school sports think that's funny. And so I did eight years, two terms on the city council, and then Mayor Minster, after 8 years, didn't want to do anymore. And so I said, we're going in a good direction. I think I can continue to do that, and I can even help people more. And got good support from my family, and I say when you grow up and you teach at the school, and you get people that know you, and I think most of them like me enough that I won.
That says a lot. And without mentioning any names involved in this question, what's the hardest part of being a mayor of a town?
I think the hardest part is just government runs slowly sometimes. You just want to snap your fingers and get it fixed, or people hear mayor and think that I have all power and a magic wand and I can just fix things. And so I think it's explain to people that it's either not going to get fixed or it's going to be take longer than they think. And but most people are really reasonable. You either explain it and fix it, or you explain why it can't happen, and they get it. And so I think those are the difficulties. You want everything fixed now, and things take time, and there's budget constraints, and there's laws, and there's the council that has to approve things. And so,
but they're being good to work with. Checks and balances.
Yep.
What's your favorite part of doing it?
I think just helping people. I think when someone has a need and they call and they're frustrated with something, and we get their problem solved, and then they feel better with things, and that part's been nice. The people I've got to meet and know, even the other mayors of the other cities, they're all in it for the right reasons. There's nobody in there that has a bad agenda. They're great people. We got some parks that are being built, and just to see those be done, and then to go there and see kids playing and people enjoying themselves and establishing a place of gathering and of community. I love that part. And I think those are the good things. Even the groundbreaking ceremonies, the ribbon cuttings, I don't mind that ceremonial stuff at all either. I think it's just, it's good. It's a city I've grew up in, had great experience in, loved, and so just want to keep it nice.
And it seems to be thriving in these days as well. That is good news. If you could think of one leadership lesson that you've learned along the way, what would be maybe your greatest leadership lesson?
I think it's the lesson. Yeah, I see things from my point of view. I see like a vision of that's how that should be. And then you realize over time, you might want to get the opinions and ideas of others, even those that you don't agree with, and get as many voices and input as you can, and then you get a much better product than if you just try to do it all by yourself or just say, oh, no, I know better. I've been here a long time, or I'm smart. I know better. But so I think it's being just getting a lot of input, being a good listener, being a good, try to understand.
And from your position in the community, what does it mean to have faith communities, like ours being one of them, but certainly not the only one, that wants to get involved into the community where the people live? What does that mean from your position?
Well, it's everything. I mean, first of all, it makes people happy. It's a quality of life issue. They get to know their neighbors. They work with their neighbors. There's a bond. There's, always be forever bonded to you and Jimmy because of that serve and others like that, people that I see. So I think that's a part of it. But also, we've done big projects like this one. We've done other projects but more work gets done in one day than my public works and parks crew can do in a month. And so you just get people that want to contribute time and even sometimes equipment and products, and you just get a lot more accomplished in a short amount of time when everybody works together.
Yeah, we can do more together than we can apart, right? So as our time is winding down here, you mentioned baseball, so I have a very important question for you. Which baseball team do you follow and like?
Well, I know all baseball fans vote, so I'll I grew up a Yankee fan, and my older brother was a Yankee fan. And you got to figure, this is starting to establish your favorite teams when I'm maybe 10. So this is like 1979. Every game was not on TV. It was Yankees and Dodgers. That's who was in the World Series. That's who was on TV. That's who was on every Saturday. And so just became Yankee fans and knew all the players. And then as times expanded, like some others and.
Well, Mayor, I'm going to have to ask you to leave based on that.
Because you're a Red Sox guy.
I am actually from the New York City area. But, New York has two baseball teams.
Yeah,
and the Yankees have won 27 championships, and my team is the other one.
Yeah, 28 if you count the Civil War. And so,
But God loves the underdog, so I guess that's why I'm a Mets fan.
No, stay loyal.
Lifelong Mets fan.
Stay loyal. They'll be back again.
One of these decades, they'll get it right.
I've been to games at the old Shea. It was good.
And I've been to Yankee Stadium. Yep. Pains me to say that, but I've been there. And then Reggie Jackson passed us driving his Mercedes while we were in the line getting out of Yankee Stadium
awesome.
One night back in the late 70s.
Yeah, those are the teams. Yeah, I was really the day Thurman Munson died, I was really sad.
I remember that.
It goes back.
But Boy, baseball fans can talk all day, can't they? Well, Mayor Porta, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for your hospitality in just facilitating that SERV project. And we just look forward to that relationship continuing and growing. And, you know, just for everybody's listening, if there ever is a community that we leave unincorporated Weber County and join, it will be South Ogden.
Yeah, we should talk about that sometime. Annex this little place in. No, this is a this church, this congregation, your people are a huge asset to South Ogden and Weber County as a whole, and all the good you guys did last summer. I've been here the last two Decembers when you do the Feed My Hungry Children. I just think you do fantastic work. You practice what you preach better than most people that I know, and I would come here for anything. I love this place.
Well, the doors are always open. You are always welcome, and we look forward to having more fun like you're just talking about there in the future. And thanks for all you're doing for our community as well.
You're welcome. Pleasure's mine.
And thanks for listening once again, and we will catch you next time on the Washington Heights Weekly Podcast. Thanks for joining us for the Washington Heights Weekly Podcast. A new podcast will post every Monday. We encourage you to check it out, subscribe to it as well. It'll come into your feed automatically. And if you want to share that with somebody that you know that maybe wants to find out a little bit more about Washington Heights, go ahead and share that. And we look forward to hearing from you as well. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.